When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Out there all around the world to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. It was a huge day in Washington, D.C., because at long last, President Joe Biden has released his new budget. And on Capitol Hill, the drama was palpable.
The budget of Joe Biden is out! The budget is out!
Biden calls for cash.
And Congress will answer.
The answer is no. The New York Times describes Biden's budget as dead on arrival. Dead on arrival is pretty harsh coming from a newspaper. My newspaper used to come delivered in a plastic bag. Now it comes in a little casket. But it's true. The GOP quickly rejected Biden's budget because they prefer deep cuts to health care, food assistance, and housing programs for poor Americans. Yes. Now, it just reflects the bedrock Judeo-Christian values of the Republican Party and echoes the words of our Lord. For I was hungry, and you said, hey, who gave you that free food? Slap that fish out of his dirty little mouth. Now, shut your dirty little mouth! Now, Biden knows his proposals are unpopular with the GOP, and he don't care. Reportedly, the White House sees no downside whatsoever to throwing out things that would never pass the Republican-controlled House. The fight is the point. Come at me, GOP. Come on. That's it. Come on. I trained with all the greats. The Pennsylvania Pummeler, the Scranton Scrapper, Kaiser Wilhelm. Come on. Get a knuckle sandwich with the whitest bread you've ever tasted. Come on, Jack Dempsey. There's also news about the former president and his insatiable need for cash and external validation because he's announced plans to publish a book of letters. Well, I mean, it's good to know he's finally learned his letters. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Person, woman, man, camera, TV. It's actually, thank you, yeah, I've been working on it.
Nice tone.
Halfway there. It's actually a book of correspondence written to him, so naturally the cover features him writing a letter. Seems a little weird, but writing letters to yourself is a lost art. We all remember this moving moment in Ken Burns' Civil War.
My dearest me, I long to see your sweet face again, but my mirror broke the other day. How I miss the tender caress of your fingers on my skin. But there's too many other soldiers in this tent, and it would be weird. Forever yours, you.
Also, Jim, can we put that cover up again? Look at that lettering in the title. I believe it's the first book whose title is written in Cheese Whiz. The book includes... There you go. Now... You may be thinking, hey, Steve, this book sounds like another one of our greedy ex-president's shameless cash grabs, and you would think real good because this book he didn't write cost $99. Yes, it sounds expensive, but how should he know? He's never bought a book. Speaking of some of that. So I got a little something. Speaking of amoral grifters, Fox News. It's been a bad couple of weeks for the Fox fascists and friends. In their legal filings, Dominion Voting Systems revealed that the network's upper management and hosts, like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, never believed the former president's election lies, but promoted them anyway. They even mocked the network's own reporters for correctly calling the 2020 election for Biden. Turns out those reporters are incredibly angry that these revelations will further sully the reputation of the network's straight news journalists. Really? Really? That's like the people at Taco Bell worrying that the Cool Ranch and fiery Doritos Locos Tacos is going to further sully the reputation of their ass-blasting salt pockets. Now, oh, I could go for one. Fourth meal. One Fox staffer described the revelations as soul-crushing. Oh, it's nice to know someone there still has a soul. Because we know so few of them have a brain. Jimmy, can we zoom in? Another Fox employee commented on the low morale, saying, "It's just a really bad time to be working here." Yes. Unlike the golden age of their journalism, warning us about woke Legos and longing for Mr. Potato Head's lost penis. Also, that was an exclusive. In search of Mr. Potato Head's sad story. Also, you know what you can do if it's a really bad time to be working at Fox News? You can quit. It's legal. You're not handcuffed to a radiator in the basement. Unless you are. I mean, that would explain the Fox News HR onboarding video.
Welcome to Fox News. I trained you to Tucker Carlson, and the key is inside your eyeball. There will be cake in the break room later.
We've got a doozy of a story out of Arkansas, thanks to Republican governor and lady at the funeral getting ready to fight the body, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And this story's for the whole family, because earlier this week, Huckagov signed a law loosening child labor protections. Oh, good. Children have been out of the labor market for too long. I mean, today's kids don't know a damn thing about changing bobbins down at the mill. They're all like, oh, I need 10 fingers to play Xbox. Now, for the record, it was already legal for kids as young as 14 to work in Arkansas, but this law eliminates requirements for the state to verify the age of children younger than 16 before they can take a job. Always a good sign when it's easier for a teen to get a job at a meat processing plant than get into a bar. Hold on, kid. Can I see some ID? I'm just pulling your leg. What is this, Applebee's? Now take this machete and break down that hog carcass. Go on. Come on. Don't cry. Governor Huckasands isn't the only Republican hopping on the pro-labor child bandwagon. A GOP bill in Ohio with bipartisan support would allow minors to work year-round until 9 p.m. And in Iowa, Republicans have sponsored a bill that would allow 14 and 15-year-olds to work certain jobs in meatpacking plants. 14 years old. For reference, this is me at 14. Would you really want that kid mechanically separating your chicken parts? Really? These bills loosen protections in some of the most dangerous workplaces. Case in point, Iowa's bill would allow students to work in places like mines if those jobs are part of a work-based learning program. Or you can learn a lot by working in the mines, like why we used to have laws to keep kids from working in mines. The Iowa bill, about 100 years?
Yeah.
About 100 years we've had those laws, something like that. The Iowa bill would also allow 16 and 17-year-olds to serve alcohol. Not only is that dangerous, dude, you really want to trust your cocktail to a 16-year-old bartender? Oh, here you go, sir. Blue Gatorade and my dad's gin served in a Poland Spring bottle. If you keep the cap on, you can sneak it into the game. These bills are part of a nationwide problem. In recent New York Times investigation found that migrant child labor is running rampant. And the Department of Labor has seen nearly 70% increase in child labor violations since 2018. So instead of penalizing those companies, Republicans have decided to just change the rules. It's a political strategy called playing a board game with a six-year-old. No, you didn't win, Mom. There's a new rule that says you can only win if your name is Devin. Okay, Mom, we'll finish this game tomorrow. I gotta go break down a hog carcass. Show for you tonight.
Coming up, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Tonight of the dynamic duo you know from the movie 9 to 5 and the hit comedy series Grace and Frankie. They now star in the new film Moving On. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. It is so, as you can tell, everybody's so happy to see you, as am I. And it's nice to see that after 43 years after 9 to 5, you two are still working together and still friends. Jane, I'll start with you. How would you describe your relationship with Lily?
Just short of intimate. No, I mean, just think about it. I've made 3 feature films with her and 7 years as Grace and Frankie. Working alongside somebody who is a genuine genius. I mean,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody like her. She redefined one woman show. Don't make fun of me. I'm being serious.
I'm sure you are. Lily, how would you describe your relationship with Jane?
Well, I too am serious when I say somewhat distant.
Really?
Really?
Well, that's how you keep the love alive.
Even when you're together, it's a long-distance relationship?
Somewhat. You withhold a little bit, you know.
Sure.
Always holding something mysterious and aspirative and not divulging everything.
Sure, sure. Leave them wanting a little more.
Right.
Now, I know you guys have done, and I know I'm not telling a tale out of school here, this is a public knowledge, you guys have done peyote together. And I was wondering... A lot of people are microdosing and stuff like that. What was that experience like? And
would you recommend? I microdose. She's not that advanced.
Really? Are you microdosing right now?
Yeah, of course.
Would you all recommend the effects of peyote?
Well, I've always had really good experiences with peyote. But the time we took it together, it was horrible. I'm totally paranoid.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it was the worst. But I love it. But I wouldn't do peyote unless you're with a guide or someone who can kind of move you.
A shaman.
A shaman.
As I am.
You are. Do you think it would be good for me? Do you think it would loosen me up a little bit, mess up my perfect heart a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I think you need a little peyote, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you guide
me? And I'll be your guide.
Will you?
No, don't.
No?
No. No. I will be your guide.
No. Yeah. All right.
Are you married?
What?
Are you married?
Am I married?
Yeah.
I
know you're married, because I kissed you once.
You did?
Yes.
You did kiss me once.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It was because I was so scared to go on his show because I had something really important and serious to talk about. And he, you know, this is his old self when he would become somebody
the
else.
The Colbert Report when I did a character, yes.
Yeah,
character
and who it didn't... scared me to death. And I didn't know what to do and how to handle you. And so I just walked in and sat on your lap and kissed you, and that shut you up.
Yes, it did.
And then you mentioned something about your wife. That's how
yes,
I,
my wife
married.
Was not happy
okay.
about it, Jane Fonda.
Okay, okay.
My wife was not happy about you sitting
well,
on my lap.
Well, she certainly won't be happy about me guiding you doing peyote.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. Stick around.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Everybody, we're back with the stars of the new movie Moving On, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda. I'll start with you on this one. You're both proud feminists, but Jane, you've said you're a late bloomer to feminism. That is surprising to me. You're no shrinking flower. You don't mind stirring the pot.
I had to be divorced.
You had to what?
I could not be married. I've been married 3 times.
Yeah.
I had to get that all out of the way. Because my marriages were not democratic. And so I couldn't be a really embodied feminist. I was, you know, when I was in my 30s and I was driving across country, a friend of mine in New York said, I'm looking out my window and I see 5,000 women marching and protesting in the streets for abortion rights. And I wrote in my journal, why is this a movement? Why are they protesting? It's such a waste of time when it was the Vietnam War. War is going on. I mean, I didn't understand. But over the years, I got to know Gloria Steinem and Robin Morgan and foundational feminists. So I made movies that were women-centered, and I wrote books and everything. But when I was finally divorced, thank God, from my favorite ex-husband, I went and saw Eve Ensler's play, Vagina Monologues, and she was performing it.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was performing the whole thing. She's now called V. And it was while I was laughing, I could feel my feminism moving from my head into my body, and I became an embodied feminist.
Lily, was there a moment? Young lady, Lily, was there a sort of profound moment when you sort of understood the goals or the needs for feminism?
Yes, but of course I was much younger. I was an usherette at the Avalon Theater in Detroit when I was 14.
Wow.
And I was working illegally.
Child labor laws at the Avalon Theater in Detroit?
Not too many.
This is in Michigan, Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detroit,
yeah.
Michigan, right.
Yeah. How's the peyote, Jane? Go ahead. You're an usherette.
I'm an usherette, and Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Rosalind Russell and... Not Rosalind Russell, Jane Russell.
Yes.
Far Cry. And Marilyn Monroe were the stars of.
Sure.
And there was a middle-aged couple leaving the theater early while the film still was being exhibited.
Really?
And the wife is saying, come on, let's go. And the husband's drifting back. He has to watch the picture again and again. And she says, come on, they don't have any talent anyway. And he said, they don't need any.
And what did that mean to you at 14?
That hit me like I finally knew what a consciousness click was. And it just opened the vault. And I felt that, well, of course, that meant that the women were diminished. They were marginalized. They didn't have it. Just how they looked was good enough.
Right.
That was all that was important, not what they were doing, how talented they were, what gifts they might have otherwise, just as human beings, more than just, you know, shaking and jiggling. It's what they were doing, profoundly on the screen at that moment.
Yes?
I'm just politely listening.
Now, let's talk about women and talent, because you are back on screen together, starring in the new movie, Moving On. Lily, I understand you called up the writer-director and...
Paul Weitz.
..and say, make this movie.
I said, why don't you write a movie for me and my sidekick. My friend.
And he said, sure.
And he said, oh, that's good. He thought about it, and he wrote one.
So what's it about?
It's a revenge movie, kind of.
You guys are the revengers?
Well, she's sort of the wanting to be the revenger, and I'm kind of there to stop her. Mm-hmm. And pound some sense into her head, but...
That's not what happens.
Then I kind of be... I get in the groove, too. Anyway, it's a black comedy. It's very funny.
I didn't even know it was a comedy.
Those are the best comedies. Those are the best comedies
and
when
she
the actors
was
don't
really
even
good
know. But I seriously didn't. When I first saw the movie with an audience, you know, originally in the script, my first word was, I want to kill you. I'm going to do it this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... there was another scene in the final movie that comes first. But, you know, when I went to the theater and I said that line and the place burst into laughter. And I thought, well, I failed. I mean...
Evidently not. We should all fail so much. Now, we have a clip here. Can you explain what's going on in this clip? You both are in a car and why?
A dog who figures into the play minimally... Hat was barking and carrying on, and they were trying to leave the where I lived. There was a parking lot, and the dog leaps out of the van finally and jumps into her arms and knocks her down and breaks her arm.
Oh.
So she's driving me to the emergency room.
Thank you for that tag team explanation. That's a partnership right there.
Yeah.
Jim.
So how's your hip?
My hip's fine.
So it's just your arm?
Yes, it's just my arm that seems broken.
I guess that's lucky. I mean, for your hip.
Yeah. Oh, God, be careful.
No! Oh, my God.
That was a stop sign.
I can see that now.
How long has it been since you had a license?
8 years.
Lily. So lovely to see you again.
Is that the end of it?
It is the end. Jane, it was so lovely to see you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having
Moving
us.
Moving On will be in theaters on March 17th. It's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.